from me, but I want to just give you a precursor into what is coming up throughout the rest of January. Starting this morning, we've got three messages through January where you're going to hear from some of our local legends. They're people that you probably know, or at the very least you will have seen in the congregation here at Hillside. Next week, we've got one of our eldership, Lance Stayer. He'll be sharing. And the following week, January 27th, Helen Wallace will also be bringing the word to you. But to kick off our local Legends Month, this morning it's my pleasure to introduce someone who has a faith in action demeanor. You know, since this man and his family arrived in Forestfield a couple of years ago, you know, many of you that have been around him will have seen his hunger for Jesus, his willingness to serve, and a consistency in his life. You know, I have not been around this man. I have not seen any day, whether he's feeling great, rubbish, or anywhere in between, where he hasn't been encouraging and edifying. He's a man that speaks life. He's a man that cares and nurtures those around him. Those of you that have been at our men's nights, you know how much fun he likes to have. He's part of our men's leadership in the men's ministry. And the joy that he often leads with is infectious. So, church, as he comes up, why don't we show our appreciation? Welcome to the stage, Mr. Wayne Mononi.
It's on, mate. Oh. Oh, my head doesn't get much bigger. No pressure. If only all that were true. And it's funny, the people that are closest to you, like your family, are probably, my family are probably thinking, well, he's not always like that. But that's okay. How are we, church? Okay, just turn to the person next to you and say, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the church. Or she. First off, is there any visitors here? Anyone hasn't been to Hillside before? Like, first time at Hillside, just put your hand there. I'm not going to embarrass you, call you up or anything, just to get a bit of an idea. Anyone else? Well, welcome, mate. You're the only one. Oh, and your mum. Good to see you. Good to see you. I thought there'd be a few more. But anyway, last week there was. So a couple up the back, all a bit shy. But anyway, welcome to Hillside. I hope you enjoy your time this morning. Craig, start off with those two words of that, two lines of the song, which is interesting given what the Lord's put on my heart to share this morning. You know, be unto you an offering, my life be an offering, or will my life forever be. Just keep that in mind as we go through. Do not harden your heart. Traditions, all those things that have been spoken, are all things I will speak about. And in particular, about reading the Word and putting things into action, because we've heard a lot of stuff, we've said a lot of stuff, we've sung and praised a lot of stuff. We just got to put some things into action. Amen? All right, I just feel you're a bit doughy this morning. Just stand up. Go on, dare you. Stand up, everyone. If you can, just stand up. Quick, come on. We haven't got time here, ladies and gentlemen. Get right underway. I've been told just to take it slow this morning. Just pause, reflect. It's not a rush. It's not a race. Not an auction. Average person speaks about 125 to 150 words a minute. I've got to try and slow down and get somewhere under that. Have been known to speak up to 400 or 500 a minute. Anyway, just clap your hands. Here's a clap. Hands in the air, wave them around. Woo! And a happy clapping church, so you can sit down now. It's all good. Again, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. So I'll just open in prayer. I think it's probably a good place to start. Lord, open our ears, Lord, and let us hear what you are saying to us, Lord, to your church. We are your church. We are your church, Lord. Help us hear what you are saying today through your servant, Father God. And I pray the people have cultivated the soil of their heart to receive a seed today from you, Lord God, and that they would have ears to hear. Just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Okay, God's will, part two. Part one was 12 months ago. I apologise for the length of that sermon. It was an hour. I promise today it will be shorter than that. Everyone's just taking a sigh of relief. God's will number two. And it's funny how this message is very similar to that one, although totally different. The theme's the same, which tells me that God wants us to get it. It means it's important. So just quickly, in any speaking or any things you do with business, they tell you to tell the people, tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you've told them. So today it's going to be about God's will, what I believe God's will is at the minute, process, and then a response. There's always got to be a response. Now this word, it's just a single word. You see up there, that's a title. I apologise for the strange title, but I was put under pressure to get a title for the message. So there you go, the R word. If I had more time, maybe it would have been more eloquent, but the R word today. Now this R word, don't put the next slide up just yet. This come out of a message from this church, and I've ruminated on this for some time, for a few months, among other things. And it was Craig's message, fast forward. Who was here for Craig's message, fast forward, out of the conference at Victory Life about fasting? No one was here? A one, two, I bid three, four, five, six, seven, I got 100. Good, half of us. Fast forward. And it was a profound day and a line in the sand day for Hillside, but quite often we hear so much in this day and age, we forget, don't we? I want to remind you of that day and what Craig brought about the instituting an old thing to be a new thing, and it's fasting. And he used the Second Chronicles scripture about humbling ourselves, means fasting. And he challenged us all to fast, didn't he? And most of us stood up and put our hands up and, woo, hot diggity, we're going to fast, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. It was all good. It was a great day at Hillside. Now, I don't know if you did or didn't, and that wasn't the point. It was just that we made a commitment that we're going to get a bit more serious. Now, I'd started fasting that day, funnily enough, so I just fasted for a little while that week. And on the last day of the fast, as I came down the hill from out bush, travelling, come down Welshpool Hill, and this word, I said to the Lord, well, and the other part of that was we were to fast and pray. We can fast, but fast and pray. And I'd perhaps never really done it for such a purpose, but the purpose was for this church. Fast and pray for Hillside, correct? So I started the first day praying for Kerry and his family, and I prayed for everything. I prayed for the mice, the rats, the cockroaches, everything. I had everything covered, and it took me a while. It took me a few days, I must say. But as I come down Welshpool Hill, I said, well, Lord, that's it. I'm done. I can't think of anyone else, anything else, any part that I haven't prayed for. I'm going to break the fast tonight as I get home, have some dinner. And as I come down, I said, Lord, is there anything, just gave it to him, anything else, Lord? And he just dropped this word into my spirit, into my mind. And it's the R word. So what do you think the R word is? Because I reckon there's two words that you're probably going to jump. Quick. Revelation. Revival. Repent. Well, I thought it'd be revival and repent because I hear a lot about both those words. Not well, actually, I don't hear so much about repentance, but I hear a lot about revival. Amen? We hear a lot about revival in the Christian church and books and teaching, and everyone's talking about revival. I've been saved 15 years, and that's all I've heard is revival, and I've been part of those voices because we want a revival, apparently. I don't necessarily want a revival, and do you know why I don't necessarily want a revival as such? Because they come and go. Azusa, probably the greatest revival in some senses to usher in the Pentecostal movement, came and went about 3 years. Now, a lot grew out of that, but the actual revival, the actual froth and bubbles and all the good stuff, 3 years, roughly. Amen? And a lot of other revivals, they come and they go. Now, there's probably a purpose for that because God doesn't want us in our little holy huddle. Just sort of, he wants us to do something. So I think that's what he does. He brings a move. Those who have ears hear, they have a bit of fun and off they go. So out of Azusa, so many missionary organisations and things grew out of that. So a lot we don't see or don't read about that grew out of that. And repentance, don't let me go there. That's my hobby horse. I won't go there today, but We can't have a revival without repentance, amen? So forget all that. The word, can we have the next slide? This is the word that the Lord dropped in, renovation. Okay? Woo, it's a bit different. And a word means to make new. To make new. Different to restore, where you restore something and make it look like it used to. It's a different word if you think about it. I've pondered this for months. And I could go on pondering it for months and what it means. Got an encouraging text from Chris Vellacott. Where are you, Chris? There he is. This morning about today and excited, so that's good. And I said, well, it's basically a tradie's message today. Chris is a tradie. Good to see him, family here. But it means to make new. And the word renovation in the 1500s, when it sort of started, its sole purpose, it explained the Christian born-again experience. That was its exclusive use. I'm up to about 200 a minute, so I've got to slow down a little. That was his exclusive use, is the born-again Christian experience. So I believe the Lord said that he wanted to renovate Hillside. Now that's a big call for me to stand up the front and tell Hillside, God's going to renovate you. So then you've got to ask the question, who is Hillside? Who's Hillside? You're allowed to talk in this. I got told when I first started preaching, don't engage the audience because someone might say something. Too bad. I'm an auctioneer. I'll handle it. Don't worry. Because I've got the microphone. Who is Hillside? We, yeah. You, me, we. In he. You like that? If you're taking notes, write that down. You and me, we. In he. Make up Hillside. So this is a corporate idea, but it's also an individual idea. And I've been very challenged and going to continually be challenged by this word myself. Because there's some renovation, there's some things that God wants to do in my life. Put your hand up if you think there's some renovation God wants to do in your life. That's pretty much everyone. It's a quorum. Slide 3, if we may. Got to have a bit of scripture to back all this stuff up. Second, you probably can't see that. I thought I picked a lovely, nice, soft colour blue. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, or they are a new creation. Gone is the old. All things have become new. So if we're in Christ, we're a new creation. That's what that original word talked about, that new creation, new. Gone is the old. All things have become new. Now you might think, well, I've got to say this straight up. It's a spiritual thing. Amen? Spiritual thing. Your spirit has been born again. We still have the same body. And dare I say, and this is the point that where this renovation, I believe, needs to work, is in our soul. And I would use mind, will, emotions as our soul. Everyone kosher with that? That's where the work take place. I didn't see what time I started, Craig. I'm trying to keep an eye on time. Very good. So it's a spiritual work, not a physical work, although it does work out in some ways into the physical. And the more I pondered this, and the more I ponder it, and some of you are probably thinking it, is the word sanctification. Anyone thinking about that? Anyone? Yeah, a few, yeah. That's good. Gold stars. Now in the Greek, and I'm not trying to be a Bible scholar, but it's just funny. Or it's not funny, it's just relevant. In the Greek, the word hagiosmos, or hagiosmos, or hagiosmos, and it means holiness, or to be set apart, to be sanctified, okay? But the generic meaning of that word sanctification is the state of proper functioning or the state of intended use by designer, by the designer. Generically, the state of proper functioning or the state of the intended or original use by the designer. Isn't that awesome when you put it like that? So I believe God wants to renovate Hillside, renovate you, me, we, in he, so we start to operate as our intended purpose or use. Sound fair? Slide 4, please. And I'm, dare I say, disappointed that Fred and Betty aren't here, but that's okay. I pray that everyone was meant to be here, would be here, and that everyone is here, would hear. So if you're here, I pray you're here. Whew. Now, God gave me this a very long time ago in Meriden, and I thought this was for Meriden, and I think it is for Meriden, but it's for Hillside, it's for Forestville, it's for the church. It's one of those things. God's word is an awesome thing. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honour me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. 500 a minute, excuse me, but we've got to get through a bit today. Doing a new thing. So God is doing a new thing, and I've got to stress this, that this new thing is actually an old thing. Okay, if he's renewing us to our original state, our original use, it's an old thing, but it's a new thing. Make sense? Bit of a paradox, if that's the right word. And Fred got this, I think, Craig, during the year last year, pretty much, and a word for Hillside. He may have, it may be a slightly different context, but as soon as I heard that, oh yeah, that's, like, you know, your claim verses, that's my verse. Because the dry place for me, the wasteland was Meriden out in the desert, where it's pretty dry physically and pretty dry spiritually. But as the more I ponder that, Forestfield or City of Kalamunda or wherever we are in Perth, it's pretty dry spiritually as well, isn't it? But he's making a way, and I've highlighted some things there. I am doing a new thing. I am making a way in the desert. They'll honour me. I provide water. My people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. So the key here is it's his work. He's the master renovator. He's the master tradesman. Now we all say Jesus was a carpenter, and essentially he was, but I believe if you study that a bit deeper, it probably was closer to the word builder, like a builder, which makes sense when we're talking about renovation. Either way, he built it and constructed things, supported things, knew his way around a circular saw and a few other things like that of the day. My people, my chosen. We're his bride, we're his body, we're his church. Amen? We're his bride. And what's he coming back for? A tainted bride? No. I apologize if you're not a Christian here this morning, because some of this stuff you may not know, but if you want to ask a question, put your hand up. Won't be a problem. But he's coming back for a spotless bride. We're his body, he's the head. How about we let him do the thinking and the planning, the strategizing, and we just hook into that? Make sense? We're his church. And what did he say about his church? Who did he say would build it? Correct. Gold star. He said he would build it, and the gates of hell would not prevail. It's another message for another day. He will build it. So if he's building it, he's decided there's a bit of renovation needs to happen. And later on in this message, we've got to let him do that. Amen? We've got to let him do that. Slide number 5, please. 1 Peter 2:9. This was just to pick up on the theme, who we are. We're his church, we're his people. We're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. That's who we are. We are the righteousness of Christ. We're kings and priests on this earth. And it's a good point Craig made. What are you like on Saturday night and Sunday night and Friday night? We drove through Northbridge on Friday night. It's an interesting place. Still hasn't changed much from when I was 18. Except I was looking at it from a different angle. But what are we like on a Friday and Saturday night? Do we put our hand up at midnight on a Saturday night and say, I'm a Christian? Something to ponder. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Okay, so that's sort of God's plan, God's idea. That's what I've told you I was going to say. Slide number 6, please. His work, His renovation. And there's a process, okay? And God's process and any renovation process, I would suggest, perhaps goes a little like this. Anyone here renovated a house, renovated a room? Quick, hands in the air, a few of you. And you're still married. Praise the Lord. That's amazing. But there's a process. Number one, you've got to decide or choose to do the renovation, don't you? You don't just, it doesn't happen by osmosis. You make a choice, a decision. Buy a house, we're going to renovate it. Get a room, we're going to renovate it. What do you do next? You count the cost, don't you? Sit down, you count the cost. Can we afford it? What's it going to look like? Don't you? Is that what you do? Might have missed a few steps, but I reckon that's pretty straightforward. Luke 14 tells us if you're going to build a tower, you count the cost so that you don't get halfway through and run out of money and everyone laughs at you. That same scripture also says to the effect of if you're going to wage war with 10,000, you come up against an army of 20,000, you have a bit of a think about it, don't you? Count the cost, maybe go and make peace. And then you come up with plans or a blueprint. Might employ a draftsman, maybe. Tobin, would you employ a draftsman for something like that? If anyone needs a good draftsman, Tobin's draftsmaning services. I believe God has used the same process above, as above, as I've just mentioned. God had a plan. This is for the renovation of mankind to Himself, which we're included in. He had the thought. He decided to do it. Don't ask me why, how. That's just what He decided. He's God. He counted the cost, didn't He? Counted the cost to renovate mankind, send His Son to die for you and for me. You, me, we. If you're not a Christian, that's a truth, that's a reality. Your sin's been forgiven. I can say that. If there's anyone here not a Christian, your sin has been forgiven. You've won lotto. You've just got to redeem the ticket. So what you got to do, you've got to take your ticket to the news agents and cash it in. You've been forgiven. You've been died for. God counted the cost and thought that you were worth it. That's good news. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Woo! Can I get an amen? Amen. Come on, you're awake. It's good. And in any renovation, what keeps you going? What keeps you going in any renovation? I can't hear, sorry. I'm thinking you're probably saying the finished product. Okay? That's the joy set before you. Where have we heard that before? Christ endured the cross for the joy set before Him. What's the joy set before Him? You and me redeemed. You and me saved. You and me in the family of God. Restored. Renovated. Hallelujah. That's good news. And God's got a blueprint. He's got a plan. He's the author and perfecter of our faith, of your faith, of my faith. Read the blueprint. Craig said it this morning. Read it. Have a look at it. Meditate on it. Live in it. But up until this point, no work has commenced, has it? No physical work has commenced. So what I want to do this morning, and I haven't cleared this with Craig, but I want to introduce a new doctrine to Hillside. Now, I don't know if we're taping the message. Kerry was hoping to listen to it about a minute after we finished. He was hoping it would be a bit shorter than last year. But I'm going to introduce a new doctrine. I'm totally serious about this. Well, as serious I can be. It's the three frogs doctrine. The doctrine of the three frogs. Anyone know that doctrine? Has that been taught here before, Craig? No? Just relax. Trust me. I'm an auctioneer. The three frogs doctrine. Now, let me tell you a story. There was three frogs on the side of a river. One decided to jump in. How many frogs were left on the side of the river? Three. I never said he actually jumped in, did I? It's a doctrine of the three frogs. You can decide, but if you don't jump in, it doesn't mean anything. We're just still sitting on the shore. And we all put our hands up a few months ago, we're going to jump in. And we're going to, I don't know if I'm going to even do that today, but do you get the drift? Do you get the doctrine? Good doctrine? Be doers of the word, not just hearers, otherwise what? deceive ourselves. We say Satan's a great deceiver. We can deceive ourselves if we don't do the word. Satan gets far too much credit. Far too much credit. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you. The three frogs doctrine. Action. Jump in. Jesus did. He jumped in. He jumped into this world as a small baby. And we've just come out of that season of little baby Jesus. Christmas time. It's so lovely. It's little baby. And we sing this song, a lion and the lamb. He's a lamb there, but he's a lion. He must bring judgment. He must come and divide, judge the sheep from the goats. This is what Craig said this morning, putting into action. He couldn't have preluded it better. Put it into action. Slide number 7. We're going all right. I'm trying to get through it pretty quick. Action, jump in. We all right? We all good? Yeah, that's good. Is Tom here? Tom Crook. Is he here anyway? Tommy Crook? No, not here today. I wasn't sure about this message a couple of weeks ago. As I come around the corner from the car park, I said, "How are you going? What's going on?" He said, "I'm just renovating a house." I said, "What?" I should sit down and have a coffee with you. But just a little confirmation. So he'd know all about this. It's messy. It's stressful. It's painful. It's tough. As I said, if your marriage survives a renovation, you're doing well. Maybe instead of some of these New Age marriage courses, which every intending couple to get married is a look out on the younger side. Maybe you should do a renovation course. And it was interesting, Jason's message a couple of weeks ago about pruning and cutting. This is what God's doing, is pruning, is cutting. Why? To make more fruit, to produce more fruit in us. And again, Satan gets far too much credit, because quite often God's pruning us. And what are we saying? No, the devil. It's the devil, it's the devil, it's I'm under attack. And you may well be, but God's just using it. Because Psalm 91, he will be with you in trouble. He'll be with you in trouble. He mightn't necessarily take you out of it, but he'll be with you. So the cutting, just keep praising God. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Be joyful in all things, joyful in affliction, James said. Anyway. God is, I believe, wanting to cut away, strip away, demolish things in our life. You, me, we. So that's Hillside as a church, maybe some practices, which was interesting. Again, Craig's word about tradition. You know, we can nullify the word of God. We can make this of no effect by our traditions. This is how we've always done it, and this is what we do. This is how we do it. What's it sound like? Pharisaism, if there's such a word. They miss the Messiah, the one they've been spending all their life looking for. I believe there's still Jewish women waiting to give birth to the Messiah. Is that right? So a question for you today, what does God want to demolish in your life? What does he want to strip away? That was a key word in this message, was strip away. He wants to strip away some things. In you, me, in Hillside, us, he wants to strip some things away. Sally gave a message a couple of weeks ago, Sally Pierce, about where have you made your bed? So where's your bed? Where have you made your bed? Is it in moaning and complaining? Candace Lair said that God inhabits the praise of his people. Candace came and said that Satan inhabits the moaning of his people. And I hear moaning. I've heard things. I've had things here, everywhere, but here as well, dare I say it. Where have you made your bed? It's a very good message. Bitterness, unforgiveness, a lot of unforgiveness in church. A lot of unforgiveness sitting in these chairs. How can I say that? Because I know that's true. Probably every sin imaginable is here. Confess it, put it in the light, get it out of the way, short account with God. What does he want to get rid of? The sin of omission. Are you doing the good you know to do? If you're not, it's sin. That's what the word says. He who has an ear, let him hear, let her hear. So not everything gets demolished though in a renovation. It's like what I said, it's a spiritual thing. We still have the same body, we have the same soul, and that's what's trying to be transformed. That's what's trying to be renewed. That's what God's trying to renovate, is that the things of our soul, in particular our mind. And even in the Revelation churches, the seven Revelation churches, which five of the seven were told to repent, there's still some things that were good to keep. Keep doing this. This is good. And in any building, any renos, you would know foundations. Generally, you'll keep the foundations. If we renovated this place, the foundations would probably stay. You might redig them and reinforce them. The load-bearing walls would probably stay. Some of the subframe, if that's the right word to use, would stay, wouldn't it? But everything else would be made new. So there's things that are, you keep, we keep. So not everything's, it's not all bad news. It's a spiritual work. And what a renovation often does is it reveals things, doesn't it? And as things are being stripped away, things are revealed. Some good, some bad. Some walls you strip away thinking you're going to get away doing it a bit cheaper, but then the white ants are in there. Other things you strip away and you see some glorious things revealed from the past as a hush comes over the crowd. You're allowed to make some noise and get excited. Woo! There you go, see? God keeps speaking to me in this area for Hillside that sometimes you will reveal like a beautiful fireplace, say. You know, you'll strip back. You didn't even know it was there. You know what I mean? Pull out all this stuff and they'll go, wow, there's an old 1920s fireplace. And you will keep that. There's something so beautiful that you didn't know was there. It's what a serendipity is. It's a serendipity. You're trying to do something you think's good and then, whoa. God's been speaking of this to me for a while about Hillside and this one point, and we'll put that up next. There's a lot of this. That's the only picture I could find, but it's not so much about the picture, it's about the idea. Does it make sense? There is so much gold in this body, it's not even funny. We have every spiritual gift we need in these chairs here, amen? If you want a revival, we've got everything we need for a revival. Just needs to be some repentance and some bit of hard yakka, roll your sleeves up, allow the renovation. But we have everything we need. We've prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers. We've got everything. Helps. We've got it all. Musicians, we've got the whole lot. We don't need anything else as such. We organically have got everything we need here. Amen? So I want us to start, if we can, just start calling giftings out of people. Start fanning them into flame in each other. Start calling them out. If you see something, people call it out. Fan it into flame. Dave Bonanno, he's not here today, I don't think, but he had a wonderful vision. One of the Monday night prayers. It's written in the training room on the board. There's a couple of things we've written there. And what it was about, as we were praying and talking, you know, praying at this Monday night, he saw two people with like picks mining. And they unearthed a bit of gold. And then the whole group, in his vision, came with picks and they all put their pick in and bang, this massive vein of gold was revealed. And it speaks of what needs to happen here. We need to all put our picks in the ground and reveal this gold. There's a lot of gold in this body. It just confirmed to me what God had been saying. But we've got to do something. We've had a lot of prophetic words in this church. Is Alison Berg on here today? No. Same thing. Another thing I've just written there, I just happened to see it, about, grabbing gifts. There's these gifts for us. Just we've got to reach out and grab them. God's doing something new, something different. And that there's change coming. We've had that. You've had a prophecy here, I think, in the year 2000 from Pastor Richard about a river and all that flowing down. Yeah. You know what the river is, don't you? It's people. It's people. It's souls. That's what the river is. And I'm grieved that Betty's not here, and I do pray that she's okay, and I pray that we can pass this on to her. But that same night, she had a word, and I love listening to preachers' wives, especially elderly ones. I wasn't sure how to say that, but she's not here. So I can call her elderly, because compared to me, she is. Compared to Finn, she's very elderly. But she had a word. And it was this, that Jesus was just imploring us to reach out and touch the hem of his garment. For your healing, for whatever you want, reach out. It's an action. We've got to do something. We've got to reach out. Amen? All right, I'll try and wind it up. I've got to call it out in others. Elizabeth Beattie's not here. Where is she? Hello, Elizabeth. Had a lovely prophetic word for me about my job changing. New job. Now, if I do nothing, it's my job is going to change. So it's right. It's in season. There's things like this happening all the time. I look around. I see all these things. I'd love to have time to start. I'd love to walk around and just call them out, but time doesn't permit. But we should be doing that. God's wanting to renovate Hillside. He's wanting to renovate you, me, we. He's wanting to build a net, a network to catch the fish so that no one gets lost, no one falls through the cracks. So what are we to do? This is the final part, very quickly. What are we to do? What's the response? What's the response? It's a good question to ask. Because when Peter got up and preached the sermon in Acts 2, and they were cut to the heart, these people, because they just realized they'd killed the Son of God. And they said, what should we do? It's a natural question to ask. Paul on the road to Damascus, as he was struck down by the Lord, who are you, Lord? What is it you want me to do? It's a good question to ask. What does God want you to do? What does he want me to do? What does he want us to do? They asked that of Jesus, what do we do to do the works of God? He just said to believe. But I just want to bring this and finish with this, that we've got to yield and surrender. And today, don't harden our hearts. Let us hear. We've got to yield, we've got to surrender, we've got to die to ourselves. Romans 12, we're sick of hearing this, I reckon. We're sick of hearing Romans 12. You know why we're sick of hearing it? Because we've got to start doing it, being it. Being renewed, being transformed by the renewing of our mind. We've got to jump in. We've got to be like the three frogs, but we've got to jump in. Like that kernel of wheat, we've got to die before we can live again and produce the harvest. So today I just ask that we would allow God to perform his renovation in us. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't made that decision, if you haven't jumped into that river of life, you can do that today. I'll leave that to Craig. If anyone wants to know more, please go and see Craig, or I'm happy to talk to you afterwards. God's thought out the plan of your life, and he's jumped in. He's died, sent his only son. And just remember this, that he not only took your sin, he became your sin. That agony in the Garden of Gethsemane was more about him, the sin of us loaded on him. So he cried blood, tears of blood, as they say. He took our sin, he became our sin. Allow him to perform his renovation. Now there's lots more I could talk about. I'll leave that to the people in the future to talk about fleeing from sin and casting off the old and putting on the new and all that wonderful stuff. About confession of sin and about fasting and about love and all the things that God's going to implement in this place going forward in this year. And Kerry laid out a mandate for this year of Mark 6:33, seek first the kingdom. You're going to get sick of hearing that, but when we don't get sick of hearing it, I'm going to be happy because it means we're doing it. Seek first the kingdom. And it's funny that word, Hagiosmos, I think of the book Haggai, which I love. And there's reasons in there if you read it. Why the house of God was in ruin. Because everyone's off building their own house. Living in their own panel houses. We're going up the mountain. Craig said this in the fast forward message. We're going to go up the mountain and get the timbers and that to build the house of God. It's a spiritual work though. So get used to hearing Matthew 6:33 this year, I believe, at Hillside. Now you might say, well, you know, he wants to do something new or new. There's nothing new under the sun. Anyone was thinking of that scripture? There's nothing new under the sun? Well, praise God, there's plenty of new things in the sun. Amen? He's got plenty of new things for us. Amen. It deserves a clap, Margaret. Thank you. I thought you might be a little bit more excited about that. So nothing new under the sun. Physically, nothing new. Jesus was tempted in every way. Everything we go through, he's been through. But there's plenty of new things in the sun, and we've got to be in the sun. We've got to be in Christ. We've got to be new creations. It says, if any man be in Christ, or any woman be in Christ, or any child be in Christ, they're a new creation. So I'll just leave you with my three frog scripture, Matthew 7:24, which possibly is the next one. Aren't they cute? Matthew 7:24. You've heard the story of the three little pigs. I didn't sort of realise this until I sort of got through this, but it's just the three little frogs. All I'm going to read about that, all the kids learn that in school about the frog, three pigs. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Hears these words and puts them into practice. Period. So I think I'm going to leave it there. Suffice to say that God wants to renovate his church. We happen to fellowship at Hillside, others fellowship elsewhere. He wants to renovate us. You, me, we, in he. There's a process. There's some things got to be stripped away. We can help with that. There's some obvious things when any of us walk into a house we know need to be shifted or changed. There's some things you know in your life's got to be changed. It's not easy. It's difficult. It hurts sometimes. Forgiveness can really hurt. There's some terrible things that have happened to some of you. But dare I say, if we don't let go of it, if we don't forgive, we're in sin. Even though the vilest of thing may have happened to you, you need to let go of it. I can implore you today to let go of it and let God into that situation. That's the process. We just got to yield to it, surrender. I'm going to have to leave it there. Didn't go too badly. It wasn't an hour today. So I'll just close in prayer. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that you've brought a word to Hillside. Lord, I pray that we all, me included, have ears to hear. Lord, and if it's dragged on a little bit long, well, I apologize for that, but I pray that the people in this audience will take what you are saying to us and it'll bear fruit. Any fluff and bubbles from me, any over-talking from me, let it fall to the ground. In the name of Jesus, Lord, give us ears to hear what you are saying to your church. And Lord, let us allow you to renovate our life. You've already done it to a point. You've made our spirit brand new if we're born again. But Lord, let us allow you to renovate our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, so that we walk in the Spirit. And we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Just a quick one. As I went out this morning, and normally in the prayer room, and praying for you guys as you come in, and sat at Grace's and had a coffee. I've finished. So I've officially finished Kerry at 10:52. So I don't know what time I started, but that's well under an hour. And I just thought, I'll just have a nice quiet coffee of my own. See if the Lord's got any more. I open my Bible up, and sure enough, if I've got a little dog ear in my page, put my little Grace's sugar in there, it's free. And it says this, so I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. That's yielding. Just yield to the Spirit. We live by that. We won't gratify those desires. As Lance often says, if you want to give up smoking, don't focus on the cigarettes. Focus on the Lord. Live in the Spirit. Be in step with the Spirit and it'll all be good. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'm glad no one went to sleep. That's why I turned all the lights on, you'll notice this morning, so I could see it. And God bless you. Amen.